RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Where would we be without the reality show in politics known as the Republican debate? There was one over the weekend. Maybe you were one of the 7 million people who watched. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. It's about the buzz in your backyard. I don't care what your stripes are, left of left, right of right. You're invited to this party, my friends. 800-259-5791. Coming up this hour, we're going to dive into the debate, obviously, and also re-rack some of the things that happened last week as we move forward into yet another week. At the end of the week, the Congress is supposed to break bread and leave. In other words, exchange a few Christmas gifts and get out of Dodge. Will they do that with so many things still left on the table to discuss? There are threats of working through the holidays, but I do not believe that is going to happen. And, of course, the biggest thing on their plate or on their schedule is extending the payroll tax cut or not. For some people, that means an extra grand, maybe, in your check overall spread out. Will you miss that money? If you say a grand to somebody, well, that's bigger. Of course, if you space it out in the checks and you're saying $25 or $50, maybe not as much. But regardless, it still would be about $1,000 out of 160 million people's paychecks. That's the big thing that the focus is on now in Washington anyway. And, of course, there's a few other things, too. But most of them will probably be put on the shelf, let's say. How about the people that want to occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? For the Republicans, at least on the stage and over the weekend at Drake University, we're talking about 8 different choices. There are other people who want to be in the race and who have been locked out of the race, let's say, like Buddy Romer, who is a guy who was in politics for 16 years, but won't take the big checks from the PACs and says that's part of the problem and the reason why we're at where we're at in our history right now with this logjam in D.C., still because of the special interest. So you're going to hear what he talks about coming up at the bottom of the hour. But before we get to that, let's talk about those that did make the debate. A lot of different things were talked about. Some of it came down to, of course, money, the policies, that kind of thing. But also some personal stuff bubbled up. Newt Gingrich mentioned several times, well, not several times, but he mentioned once about his personal life and said that now he's a grandfather. That was before, and he has asked the Lord to help him many, many times. And Gingrich is the guy, Newt Gingrich, the former Speaker of the House, who has really risen in the polls. The runoff from Herman Cain stepping out of the race last week, I think a lot of that has fallen into Gingrich's lap. But there are, as I mentioned, several candidates still in the race, and that includes Rick Perry, and that includes, Rick Santorum. That includes Ron Paul. Ron Paul is a guy who gets overlooked a lot by the mainstream people, but there are plenty of loyal Paul followers who would love to see Ron Paul, get into the White House. This is his third try. Now he's being asked if maybe he'll consider doing a third party thing. He's saying no right now. That, of course, could change, but Ron Paul is somebody who is popular, I'm going to say, underground for some reason. A lot of the ideas that he's talked about are now widely accepted by many of the people who are running. So anyway, here's a little snippet of what you might have missed over the weekend if you didn't tune into the debate with the 7 million plus people who were watching ABC. Rick Perry talked about the fact that yeah, you know what? If we cut the pay in half, basically slice it open in half, so less time in D.C., more time back at home with the constituents, and also the people that serve Congress having to get a job and work under the laws that they're actually passing, he said that would be a good idea. Ron Paul, on the other hand, talked about what a mess big government is.
If you embark on instituting a society where government protects you from yourself, you're in big trouble, and that's what they're doing.
I talk about going to a part-time Congress. Cut their pay in half, let them spend half the time in Washington, D.C., send them back home to have a regular job like the rest of the people in their districts, and work under the laws that they pass.
See, I would say the opposite of what Rick Perry says. I believe in a smaller government. And it sounds good what he's saying, but I think you need full-time people in Washington, but you need them all in Washington. They're not in Washington enough. They show up on Monday, often late, miss votes, and leave many times before Friday or on Friday, and that's not enough time in D.C. And if they move their families to D.C., not that they can't still have a place in whatever state they're representing, maybe that would help. There'd be more of a sense of community among the people who are working together instead of taking off, leaving. I think that, to me, that happens too much, and I think that's even a bigger part of the problem, much bigger part, that if they were there together more, that perhaps would help. We've talked about all these tunnels, and I've got to mention this at the top. We've talked about all these tunnels that are popping up, of course, with Tijuana and San Diego. But the Mexican army is saying that it's found a 50-yard-long tunnel that starts under a building in the northern city of Nogales, which is across the border from Nogales, Arizona. The Defense Department is saying this tunnel, 2 yards under the surface, might have been used to cross the border into the U.S., but they don't say whether the tunnel actually reaches into the United States or whether any entrance on the U.S. side has been found. I mean, there are so many tunnels that have been found in that one area that I mentioned. They're saying like 250 overall in the last couple of years, which is a crazy amount. How they aren't discovered a little bit sooner, I don't know, but at least they're eventually discovered and they shut them down and they're lined and they have air conditioning, and boy, it seems like it must take them no time to put them up, because once one gets torn down, somehow they find another one someplace else. But now in these more remote areas, that's pretty interesting to see if they're connecting not just California to, you know, Mexico. If we're talking about other border states where it's connecting, I think that's pretty scary. How many of these are actually up and running? And how many places are we just completely flying blind and have no idea? We just assume that people are coming up over rough terrain, and we see some that don't make it, that are victims of the coyotes, the people who charge them crazy amounts of money to come over the border, but perhaps they're also coming up through other ways that just haven't been discovered yet. Ooh. And yet we continue to not deal with the illegal immigration problem. Call me crazy, but that should be at the top of the list. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Are you going to talk about this in an earlier part of the show here on America Tonight? But I'll do it now. A lot of people were weighing in on my whole Christmas tree debate, fake or real. It's just something that I've noticed. A lot of people are going to the artificial trees, and why aren't they getting real ones? Is it too expensive? Is it too much of a nightmare to put it up? Too much of a hassle for everybody? Or what is the reason behind that? I grew up with a real tree, and I'll be darn if I'm not going to have a real tree. I just can't do the artificial thing. But apparently a lot of you can, because you have taken the time to weigh in on it. Overwhelmingly, I've gotten so many emails from many of you, like Elizabeth, who says, it's cheaper, Kate. That's all she said, it's cheaper. And then I got another one, this one from Jake, who listens to us in Austin, emails us all the time, and Jake says, I understand why you like the real tree, but you know what, Kate, I'm just going to be honest, it's a hassle. And when you have little kids, you got to drag the thing, put it on the roof. Yeah, I'm not feeling it. So I say bah humbug to you, Jake, but I understand because you are in the majority and I find myself in the minority. We did have plenty of people that said they get real trees, but overwhelmingly 68, because I broke it down to that, 68% of you believe that artificial is the way to go and you don't see any problem with it. And it's a fire hazard. It's a hassle. It's too expensive. Those were the main reasons that you gave. And some of you actually called the show. We had a lot of callers on our last show at the tail end of the week calling in to say why or why they didn't believe in getting a real tree. Well, is it real? Is it fake? What's going on with the U.S. drone and Iran? I think they have a museum that they take the Russians to show off all the things that they've shot down or taken from America. So this is the latest. Iran saying it's not going to return a surveillance drone that was captured by its forces. They're not going to do it. General Hosseini Salami, who is the deputy head of the guard, talked about the fact on state-run television, that's what they have in Iran, that by coming into the airspace of that country, the drone was a hostile act by doing that. And they're going to keep the hardware and warn that there might be a bigger response if that happened again. So they broadcast video a couple of different times of the military officially inspecting what they identified as an RQ-170 Sentinel drone. In fact, later on, I will make sure that I post a picture of it on the website, and it looks like a museum piece the way that it's displayed. So it's an unmanned deal, as you all know, and they detected it about 140 miles from the border with Afghanistan. So we've acknowledged finally losing the drone, and Iran is taking claim and saying it's a victory for the defeat of this country in intelligence and technology, and that Iran is one of the few countries that possesses the most modern technology in the field of pilotless drones. So the technology gap between Iran and the U.S. is not too much, according to Iran, according to Salami, we'll call him. General Salami, he says that we're not that far behind in the race, but it's wild to see it on display. So they're just gloating at our expense, meaning the U.S.'s expense. We haven't heard the last or had the last discussion on what to do about Iran, whether to force the issue, lay in the weeds, forget it all together, or what? What do you do? Because you know that that country is going to have a nuclear weapon. And you think about Israel and the relationship with Israel, and I think it's going to get really messy before it gets better, let's put it that way. Absolutely. I think one of the craziest stories that I've read in the past couple of weeks has to be, and I got to throw this in here before we bounce back to the debate for a second, is this artist finding new images in the Mona Lisa painting. Of all the paintings that are ever discussed, Leonardo da Vinci's masterpiece is what most people call it, the Mona Lisa, is the one I think that gets the most attention. There's an artist that says if you turn the painting sideways, you can see an outline of a lion, an ape, and a buffalo around Mona Lisa's head, and a crocodile and a snake coming out of her body. Also says what's the meaning behind the images. And this artist studied Da Vinci's journals and says that the painting is a representation of jealousy. And in the journal, there's a passage that Da Vinci writes that says, "Give her a leopard skin because this creature kills the lion out of envy and by deceit." I don't know. I think it's interesting. Does he have a point? Or is it just a way to make money? Is it just a way to draw attention to his own work? I'm not so sure. I mean, I think it's like those ink blot paintings you show to different people. They come up, everybody comes up with different things that they see in it. And there might not necessarily be one right answer. Rick Santorum, who sometimes is forgotten on the stage, is certainly running and has enough to keep himself running and going to the debates and trying to talk about his positions. Feels like, and he's been accused of flip-flopping in the past, but says not at all, that he really sticks to what he says. Take a listen.
You're not going to hear them talk about all the positions I took and flip-flopped on. I was there, I led, and I won.
He did win, that is true. The people in the great state of Pennsylvania voted him in, and he didn't, he was, you know, guns blazing, but he's been accused of flip-flopping on a few things that he said to fit into pace with what mainstream conservatives would want. I mean, see, you know, you think of all the issues, and I said so many of the issues are being left off of the, you know, table. But here's the thing, in trying to maneuver this landscape, I think a lot of these candidates try to mold themselves into what they think will get them elected. Can you be completely elected on your unedited self? Now, that's an interesting thing to debate. Can you be elected without being edited, like Ron Paul, who some people put in the nuttier category, I think unfairly, because of some of the things he said. Now, Ron Paul is going to make an appearance on Jay Leno this week, and for whatever ratings Jay Leno gets, certainly there are some people that watch him, and it'll get buzz anyway, because then it'll be on all the other shows. You know, they'll play back little pieces of Paul on Jay Leno's show. And Ron Paul does not waver from what he thinks. You know, like, why don't we talk to Iran? Why don't we get everybody out of these foreign countries? Because we don't have any money. We cannot be supporting all these other things and all these other nations when we are so much in the dark on our deficit and what to do with it. $15 trillion and what's happening in our country with our Federal Reserve System. Why isn't that audited? Why can they do pretty much, it seems, what they want to do, meaning Ben Bernanke, the Federal Reserve Chairman? Why is everything shrouded in secrecy other than when interest rates go up or down or announced, or whether or not somebody trots up to the Hill? So think about that. Can somebody be elected unedited? Not at all spruced up, changed around. You kind of tripped on this one, so we got to change that. Not now. Unless they jump into that third party. I think this is why people liked Herman Cain. A lot of the people that globbed onto Cain liked the fact that they thought he was very, very authentic. Just getting that feeling from the way he was talking when he would appear around the country, or he would jump on the show, a radio show, a television show, you know, whatever it was. So I think we're looking for that unedited person, but I think it's very tough to crack the two-party system right now, Democrats or Republicans. Coming up next, there is a guy who wants to crack the system, and he was in politics for a very long time before stepping aside in the early 90s. Stay with us.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. Why Ali C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali C today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
The perfect water for drinking, bathing, and cleaning. Right at your fingertips? Yes, you can now have the most powerful water ionizer on the market for less than half the price of competitors. The Genesis Platinum Water Ionizer from GibsonsHealth.com creates the perfect drinking water of 9.5 pH, automatically cleans every time you use it, and even tells you when to change filters. Other 7-plate water ionizers are priced at $2,000 or even $3,000. But the Genesis Platinum is only $16.95. Get yours today at GibsonsHealth.com. Under Nutritionals, be sure to click on Essential Oils for aromatic liquids extracted from a broad range of flowers, stems, seeds, and bark. And to really balance your body, click on Go Green, the most complete green drink available, necessary for survival. All this and more are found at GibsonsHealth.com. Call 800-388-6844. That's 800-388-6844 or GibsonsHealth.com. Healthful living since 1974.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. So psyched about our next guest. He was a politician. He was in politics for 16 years. I'm going to say he wasn't a politician because he was a different kind of politician. I watched what he was doing. I like this guy. That's what I'm just going to tell you that up front. And here's the deal. He's a former governor of Louisiana, and he also was a four-term congressman from that same state. Then he was smart. He got out of the game because we see what's happened in Washington, and now he wants back in. But the problem is the Republicans won't let him back in. It's a crazy, wicked thing that happens in trying to run, and I just don't understand it. You have to get at least 4% of the national poll when all these polls are going on. I mean, it's crazy stuff. Hey, buddy, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks, Kate. I'm really proud to be with you.
When you decided to jump in, first of all, why did you decide, okay, I got out of this now, what am I, crazy, I want to go back into it? What did your family say?
No, I didn't miss it. That was not the reason. I mean, that could be a reason for a person to unretire, but I didn't miss it. I like my private life. I'm a business person, as you know, a Harvard economist, Harvard Business School, banking, had a small bank, very profitable, good shape, no bailout money. We didn't foreclose on a single mortgage holder. We're a special kind of bank, and I was enjoying building that bank. However, I thought the country was headed in the wrong direction the last 10 years or so. I've been anxious. Bill Clinton with NAFTA, George Bush with the bailout program and no discipline on spending, and President Obama, who preached hope and change, but I didn't see either. And so I came to the conclusion that the country was headed in the wrong direction, so I decided to get active in my party's politics. I looked at all the candidates, and I didn't see one that I could support very easily. I mean, I had to hold my thumb to my nose, so to speak, because my issue is that whether it's a balanced budget, whether it's federal spending, whether it's tax reform to give small business a chance to grow, or whether it's fair trade with China. Now it's all unfair. Whatever the issue, from bank reform to health reform, the first step needs to be to take the big checks and the special interests out of the room. Get rid of the hospital association. Get rid of the Wall Street banks in negotiation. Get rid of the pharmaceutical company and the insurance companies. Let's have nurses and doctors and patients, and we will get a better health care system, and the government will play a legitimate role in that. So I came to the conclusion that we're headed in the wrong direction. The candidates who were talking about running weren't going to do a darn thing because they were bought out by the big corporation. So I decided to run with my issue to be a president free to lead, to take the first step in refusing PAC money, super PAC money, Wall Street bank money, insurance money, all of the special interest money. $100 limit, no exception, and I would run for president.
Oh, bravo. And I think you would get a lot of votes, but there's a reason that they're shutting you out. And as I said, part of it was that crazy what you have to get in the polls,
yeah.
But also it's because of what you just said about the special interest, isn't it? That's
yeah.
A big reason you're a threat, aren't you?
No question. They don't want to hear this. I mean, President Obama is raising $1 billion. I mean, whatever you think about him, $1 billion, and I guarantee you most of it will come from special interest, and the Republicans are no better. They're just smaller amounts. You know, they're only raising $100 million or $150 million or $200 million, but they have super PACs where it's hidden. I mean, Mitt Romney's taken four $1 million checks. Rick Perry has 7 super PACs. John Huntsman. Now, here's a character for you. Has broken his campaign. He can't raise any money now, but he's got a super PAC funded by his father that gives him all the money he wants in New Hampshire to run ads. This is ridiculous. Our nation used to be, and I was in Congress. In fact, I'm the only guy running that's been in Congress and governor. Never took PAC money. But when I was in Congress 25 years ago, we debated whether we need full disclosure to show where the money comes from. The conservatives like me wanted that. The liberals wanted limits. Well, now we live in a country with neither disclosure nor limit, and I think we are a nation in trouble. Obama can't do anything. He should leave, but he can't get anywhere. The government's bought by special interests.
Oh, I so agree. It's such a political gridlock. It's ridiculous. You just gave some reasons why it's like that. So, buddy, if you could get in there, and because you have such a background when it comes to finance, you talked about being the founder and CEO of, you know, president of Business First Bank and the success that you had there. What would you do? Because I don't think we're going down this lane, and you just spelled out some of the reasons. What would you do? How do we get out of this mess financially?
We can do it. We can do it, Kate. Now, look, I don't want to paint a dark picture. It's a matter of urgency. But this is doable, Kate. There's not a problem we have, from immigration to addiction to foreign oil, to loss of manufacturing jobs, that we can't as a nation stand up to. We have to go beyond our party. We have to build from the center. We have to have a president free to lead. We have to stand up, not just with Republicans, but with Democrats and independents, and build a new beginning. Let's take an example. Bank reform. We need to get rid of too big to fail. You know it, and I know it. Congress knows it. They just don't have the guts to do it because they're dependent on the Wall Street bank's money. I mean, I don't mean to run our president down. I'm sure he's doing, you know, what he thinks is right. But he signed bank reform last year. It had too big to fail in it. It didn't put back the Glass-Steagall bill, which is one of the first things I would do to separate the mega banks from the commercial banks. It didn't have any capital raise for ratios for bigger banks. I mean, it was a disaster. The president signed the bill, went to Wall Street, had a fundraiser at $35,800 a ticket, and you know who hosted it, Kate? Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not putting big companies down. They are profit driven, and that's fair in America. Mm. However, they shouldn't own our government. And the way you get first in line in Washington is to have a big check. And it impacts health reform, which I happen to believe the president was right in saying we needed health reform. What was wrong was all of the solutions, because they were driven by insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, and tort lawyers. You know, I would take a completely different approach. I would build from the middle. I would be positive about America. I would have Made in America as not only my motto, but it would be government action. I would give preference to things made in America. And finally, on day number one, I would tell the Chinese, unfair trade will not be allowed. Your products built by children or prison labor or forced labor or with no minimum work standards, safety standards, or environmental standards will not be allowed to freely come into our country. We are their biggest market, and we haven't had a president in my lifetime stand up to them. I've been to China many times, and I will stand up to them.
Bravo. That's definitely, you won me over with that one, certainly. I talk about it all the time with what's going on with China. Why don't we stop this? Why do we keep doing the whole thing? The status quo makes no sense. So buddy, you stand where you are now. We've got the primaries, of course, coming up in New Hampshire in the beginning of January. So what do you do now? Do you think about third party?
Well, that's a possibility. I am a Republican. You know my history. I'm the only governor in American history to change party, as I was elected as a conservative Democrat and partial through my term. I figured Louisiana needed a two-party system. My legislature was 138 Democrats out of 144. It sounded like the Soviet Union, you know, one party. You need two parties. You need debate. I mean, no party's always right, and both parties always have a little something wrong with it. So I changed parties, and I'm going to stay a Republican. However, if I get shut out of 15, 16, 17, 18 debates, they've had 15 nationally televised debates now. They've had people in the debates who have never held a political office. They've had people in the debates who have never served as governor. They've had people in the debates who have never served as Congress. They've had people in the debates that never started a company or built a billion-dollar company. And I'm just asking my Republicans who are listening tonight, are we going to be the party of privilege in Wall Street? Or are we going to be the party of plain people who build a great nation? And I want to stand on the debate floor, surrounded by the likes of Mitt Romney, who represents the 1%, and Newt Gingrich, who's the lobbyist for the 1%. I want to stand there and make my case that Republicans can do better than either one of these guys. Stand up, Republican. I'm going to try to stay. If I don't get invited to a single debate, after all my work and all my effort and all my examples about money, then I will consider Americans Elect or some group like that that will be in all 50 states and will have a unity ticket. I would lead it as a Republican. I don't have to quit my party, but I would reach out to a Democrat or an Independent, and we would put a unity ticket together and try to rebuild America from the center.
Good luck, Buddy Romer. We'll be watching. I can tell you, you're used to pushing those boulders. I think you're going to push it right over the cliff. I love it. Buddy, thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining us.
The Republicans don't have a winner yet.
They don't. It is wide open. Buddy, thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Bye-bye.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients. Aids in controlling yeast infections. Is never freeze-dried. And uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com, spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com, or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a Brig Pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty, nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Well, we've been talking about domestic violence, as you know. It's something that I'm trying to raise awareness on. Really gotten involved in my whole career because some of the things that I covered as a television news anchor and certainly being in the talk game in the radio world as well. Christy Paul joins us now. You might recognize Christy Paul, news lady extraordinaire on HLN, and she's there in the mix in New York for Time to Talk at Liz Claiborne. Hey, Christy, how are you?
I'm great, Kate. Thank you so much for all your efforts here.
Yeah, thank you, too, for the same thing. I think anything, the people on our side of it, I mean, what are we doing? We're just talking about it. But I think that that will sometimes strike a chord with people who are listening, our listeners, people that we reach that might be in this situation. And you know this. I've done television as well, and as I said, radio. When you're doing your thing, sometimes you don't realize the impact of a story you tell or situations and that kind of stuff. And I think that's the rewarding aspect of our job. It's not about us, but the fact that there is the chance that someone could hear what we're talking about, it could strike a chord with them, and they could make the move. Don't you feel that way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a hard time. I don't know about you, but I have a really hard time disconnecting myself from a lot of stories that we hear. I anchor on In Session on True TV, too, and right now we're in the middle of a Susan Wright resentencing, a lady who stabbed her husband almost 200 times, claiming that he sexually assaulted her. You know, she was living under abuse for years, she said. Now, she was convicted, but we do know that there are a lot of people living in scenarios like that. They don't go on to kill their husbands, but I was married for 4 years to a man who was really brutally verbally abusive to me. And I have 3 little girls, 7, 5, and 2, and I just had an urge to write one day, and the next thing I knew, I had written my story, and because I'm not fool enough to think it's not going to happen to them. And when I talk to people or even put on my Facebook page that I wrote this book, it's coming out in May, I am amazed, Kate, at the amount of people who say, I just left this abusive relationship, or I was in this relationship 20 years ago and I still have the scars. And this is so prolific. And it's not just women. I had a conversation with a guy last week who was getting out of a relationship because the roles were reversed. And you wonder, you know, I think at the core of abuse is fear. I mean, not it's fear for the victim because they fear what's going to happen next. They feel the shame of it all. They fear, you know, the safety of their children if children are involved. And then for the abuser, you know, I don't want to necessarily vilify abusers either because they have their own wounds and they don't know how to deal with their anger. But at the end of the day, you have to be responsible for yourself. And if you are with somebody who cannot fight with you in a way that is civil and respectful, then they're just not healthy enough to be in their in your life. And that's what I had to finally realize. And it took me 4 years to do it.
Wow, so well said. And so you have a book coming out. You're starting to see what's out there, as you mentioned, how prolific it is. How tough was it for you to get out of that situation with young girls?
Well, the nice thing was I did not have the girls at the time. I didn't have children with him. But I can tell you that I had a moment towards the end where we were fighting and he was screaming at me and, you know, just horrible name calling and always threatening to leave. And I had this moment where I thought, what if I did have children? What if I don't want my son growing up thinking this is what he should do to women? I don't want my daughter growing up thinking this is what she should expect because it's not okay. And all of a sudden in my head I heard, yeah, it's not okay. Then why are you still here? If it's not good enough for kids, it's not good enough for you, and vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, you mentioned some of the cases and some of the stories that we see. Do you feel like now women are more empowered to take that leap? Like you said, fear is the biggest thing. Do you feel like, and this is a hard question to answer because, you know, we're on the other side of it, but do you think we're seeing more, because of the conversation, more people coming forward and openly talking about what's happened to them?
What I see is that when people find out I've been through it on some level, they will talk to you. There is such isolation and such a feeling of being alone when you're in the middle of it. But I do think the conversations are becoming more expanded. And I think part of that is because, like I said, it's so prolific and so many people have been through it. And nobody wants to join that sorority of, hi, I'm divorced, or hi, I was in an abusive relationship. But the fact of the matter is, it's real, it happened, and we need to understand our worth and set boundaries for ourselves. And that was something that I learned from it. I had some really unconventional therapy. I had to sit down and write a list of the benefits of verbal abuse. And I remember writing out that title thinking, this is sick. But the next thing I know, I had 66 answers, and I share that entire list in the book. It helped me understand boundaries that you need to set in your life. It helps expand my capacity to forgive other people and to forgive ourselves for not being perfect. And, you know, we blame ourselves so much when somebody comes at us. But at the same time, you have to recognize that, look, I can't make him stop drinking. I can't make him less angry. I can't make him act differently. That's his responsibility. And if he's not going to step up, then I have to step out.
Oh, I like that. It's powerful.
Because you're worth it. Because this is not the life that God intended for you. Nobody was born to be abused.
Yeah. Wow, so powerful. Step out. If it's not right, don't be afraid to step out. And what's interesting in now what I've noticed here in our conversation is a lot of people, Christy, just think of violence, like domestic violence. They think of hitting. They think of somebody getting hurt. They think of the threat of that. But as you're talking about, the verbal abuse is really rampant and really scary, and I think people don't understand what that is.
Well, and think about how many children are growing up in homes where they're hearing verbal abuse, and you wonder where it comes from. I mean, people do what they know, sadly. And I know that for myself, I was in that relationship for 4 years, and a sense of worthlessness really does penetrate you, and you just feel like, my God, I can't do anything right, and I am not worth anything, and you start walking around like a zombie. And you have to, you owe it to yourself to snap out of that. You can't let somebody else's words define who you are. It's a hard place to be, and it's a hard place to get out of. For me, my story was I had to get on my knees and I had to pray and I had to finally be willing. I mean, I had asked a million times when I prayed in that marriage, do I stay or do I go? And I'm telling you, Kate, I heard go a million times, but I wasn't willing to really go. I wasn't willing to do it because I had married this man. That was a commitment. And we all have that. No. You see the moments where they're kind and they're loving and they're sweet, and you just cling to those because it reinforces to you why you are with that person. But you also have to recognize the reality of the situation. And until I was really willing to leave, if that was what I was supposed to do, or willing to stay, I was willing to do either one. And I just got that gut, and I knew I had to leave. And I didn't leave right away. I mean, it took me a month. You have to, especially if you're in a situation where you are in danger physically, you have to be very careful about it. Listen to your gut. Go to somebody that you trust. I guarantee you there is somebody out there who will help you. You are not alone in this. But words can be just as devastating as anything else because they're so consistent, and they can break you down and your psyche can be shattered. And I just urge people to recognize their worth. Nobody's meant for that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Did you tell anyone when you were going through this?
I told his parents at one time, two years into it, I called them and was ready to walk, and we did get counseling. And I'm a huge advocate of counseling because that is so helpful.
Right.
To make you see it from a different angle and to get a little bit of support in that, look, it doesn't matter what you did, you didn't deserve this. But I did reach out to some people, and my friends, really at the end of the day, they were smart. I have a whole section in the back of my book, actually, of tips of how friends and family can deal with it, because you don't want to, as a friend, you don't want to go to somebody and say, oh, my gosh, he's such a jerk or she's such a jerk, you have to get out of this. Because if they decide to stay, you know, the victim decides to stay, then you know what? They're not probably going to come back to you because now they know what you think of that person.
Mm.
It's a delicate balance of being supportive and just saying, listen, when you're ready, I'm here to help you.
Mm.
And that you have no idea how empowering that can be for somebody.
Yeah. Wow. I so agree. And your book's coming out. When is it coming out?
It's coming out in May. It's by Tyndale, and it's called Love Isn't Supposed to Hurt. And a lot of the exercises that I did, I also have those at the back of the book. So it's very interactive. People will get resources on where they can go and who they can talk to, you know, in their communities, websites and whatnot. I have an entire exercise like what I went through that they can do on their own, and the tips for friends and family as well. And part of the proceeds will go to the domestic violence hotline, National Domestic Violence Hotline.
Because
I just want people to know they're worth it and they don't deserve to live like that. And as much as you love somebody and you want to help them, and they may really be a great person, until they're healthy enough to deal with you in a healthy manner, they're not healthy enough to be in your life.
Yeah. Love doesn't have to hurt. We'll look for it. Christy Paul, thanks for everything you're doing and good luck with the book.
Hey, thank you, too. You rock.
Yeah. You, too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christy. That was great.
Okay. Kate, thank you so much. Good luck with everything.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.